and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Church Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. My name is Amy, and it's a joy to join you as we read God's Word today. Today is Friday, June the 10th, and we have a staff birthday to celebrate today. Today is Joey Gleason's birthday. He is one of our custodians, and Joey does many things to make ministry possible here at Mountain Brook Baptist Church. And so we are so thankful for your support of our church, Joey, and we wish blessings on you on this birthday. Today we'll be in Numbers 13. We'll finish the chapter and we'll read Psalm 15 and 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 15. Let's begin with Numbers chapter 13, and I will read verses 26 through 33 for us. This is following the Israelites going in to explore the promised land. Remember from yesterday, they are on the precipice of this long-awaited land that was promised to their ancestor Abraham, and now Moses has sent in the representatives to spy out the land, and here they are coming back to give their report. And just a spoiler for you, it's not the news we might hope for. In verse 26, the book of Numbers says, "They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account, 'We went into the land into which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan.' Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, 'We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are.' And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, 'The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them.'" So here we are at this turning point in the book of Numbers, expecting the Israelites to go into the land and to be poised to take it, to trust that the Lord has given them this land and is going before them. And the people, save for Caleb and Joshua, we learn other places in scripture, just come and seem to be so doubtful because of what they have seen. And we even see how they begin to make it into a little bit of a tall tale. At first, they say some of these people are descendants of Anak, who were very large, very foreboding people. But then later they say, well, they're all descendants of Anak. They're all tall and intimidating, and we can't do it. And I'm just reminded in this passage how all along in Scripture, God's people are tempted to trust in their own abilities, in their own proficiencies, in their own strength, and how the Lord is reminding His people over and over again that God did not choose them because of their skill or because of their prowess or because of their size, but because the Lord is on their side and because He's called them His children and He has told them that He's going to go before them and go into this land. And so it's not because of their own abilities that they could have succeeded in this land God promised them, but because God was going with them. And I'm even reminded of in the Psalms, there's this refrain about how some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. We'll continue on in the book of Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 15, a psalm of David. "Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. We'll continue on in 2 Corinthians now as we turn to 2 Corinthians 8. And the heading in my Bible says, the collection for God's people. So 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is Paul's focus on generosity and generous giving. Paul is trying to teach the people in Corinth what it means to be good stewards of the gifts that God has given them. And the example that he gives is here in chapters 8 and 9. He talks about how the Macedonian church has given abundantly out of their resources to help those who were in Judea, to help the Jerusalem church. And Paul here is calling the Corinthians to do the same. So we'll begin in verse 1, and today we'll read verses 1 through 15. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality, as it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. So Paul's words here, as he's talking to the Corinthians about generosity, Paul is calling them to sacrificial giving, not that they might boast in themselves about what they have given, or not even as a competition to outgive the believers in Macedonia, but Paul calls them to give out of motivation for what God has given them in Christ. In verse 9, Paul reminds them of the gospel, that the Lord Jesus, who was once rich, became poor for our sakes. Paul would say in Philippians that though he was in very nature God, Christ did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing and took on the form of a servant. And so Paul is calling us as believers to have that same mindset, to consider others more important than ourselves in the ways that we steward our abilities, our time, and our finances to make the gospel known in word and in deed. Will you pray with me? Father, we are so grateful for the reminders of the hope that we have in you and what you have done for us in Christ. When we were undeserving of your mercy and of your grace, that you sent your Son to pay the penalty for our sin, that in Jesus you took on our poverty that we might become rich. And so we pray that reminders of the gospel might spur our hearts to give, not that we could be proud of ourselves or boast to others, but that it would be an overflow of the love you have shown us, that love would flow out into the lives of others, that they might see our good deeds and glorify you in heaven and come to faith in you. We pray all of this in your name. Amen.